Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So our assignment's over this weekend on Friday. Who in your life comes to mind when you consider joy? On Saturday, draw a picture of your mind, record and listen. And on Sunday, what does the drawing tell you about how you see yourself mentally? What fun questions. All right, here's our first caller. First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Janet calling from New Hampshire.
Well, hello, Janet. Safe and sound at home in New Hampshire.
Oh, my gosh, what an adventure coming back from the monastery. I had an adventure getting there and an adventure coming home. And I actually just got home late yesterday afternoon. So.
Oh, my gosh.
I know, right? And it was really funny because after spending some time at the monastery and being, you know, listening to the show while there, I was like, I am going to make every effort to get on because it's 12 o'clock here. Mm-hmm. And I was just sitting here doing something, and I happened to look at the clock, and it was 2 minutes till, and I watched this, like, oh, my gosh, the show starts in 2 minutes, and I made a commitment that I'm going to try everything to get there and to get in the queue, and watched that subtle conditioning come in and say, oh, my God, but you are, look how behind you are. You're trying to catch up on everything that you've missed, and you don't even know what the question is. You know, you haven't been online to even see what's going on, and just ignored all of it and punched the numbers in. And then I got on right when Ashwini was saying, those are great questions. I have no idea what the questions are, but all I know is that I'm getting on and I'm talking and I'm not listening to conditioning. So, hi.
Well, the first one was about who comes to mind, who in your life comes to mind when you think about joy. So this whole thing, I for me, Janet would be
exactly
one that comes to mind.
Exactly. Yes, I know. Even through, you know, there were so many ways that the story could have been written differently, you know, that no, there isn't joy, there's this and this that are dissatisfaction.
Oh,
and
it's hard. Everything is hard. And you're suffering because circumstances are against you. And, oh, my gosh, and now you're behind and you're probably never going to catch up. Ever.
I know.
And
exactly.
So you better just give up everything that takes care of you and really struggle and suffer because you should.
Yes, and I'm not interested in that.
No thanks.
I
could. It's an option.
I was thinking this morning, I turned to my husband and I said, where's my schedule? I said, I need a schedule. It is so kind. So I'm here. I've actually got note paper that I cut up, and I'm giving myself assignments today.
Uh-huh. A schedule, because it is kind, isn't it?
Yes.
It is kind to look at the day and have a schedule and know that your schedule takes care of you. There's time for everything, including recording and listening and meditating and relaxing and sitting with a cup of tea and all of the things, and of course working meditation, and all of the things that make up your life. And yes, something might interrupt the schedule, of course, it might, but it as long as it's not conditioned mind, we're going to be fine and happy.
Yes. Totally, totally in agreement, and so happy to hear you just articulate that, because that is it. And I feel so good, and I just want to put a plug in to go to the monastery.
Get me to the monastery.
Take me to the monastery, because I just feel like I have so many more open spaces in me. I don't know. And at the same time, I feel really, really full. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it does. And I will say that you visited the monastery. You know, there can be a lot of about doing anything that really takes care of the human being. But you were there during one of the most trying periods of time that anybody could ever encounter, and it was still a great experience, right?
Yes. And what was funny was, so I live in New Hampshire, and I look at the weather this morning, and it's like, exclamation mark, heat wave. I'm like, what? How can there be heat here now? But, yes.
You brought it home with you, huh?
Yeah, I think I brought it home with me. I got to be so still, and there's so much clarity when you can be still and you really hear what's going on inside of you. And
you can be with you.
Yes. And I really was, it was like a checkup that, you know, like taking your car in. My overdue. My vehicle is overdue for an oil change.
Well, I'm it's lovely to hear. Makes me very, very happy, and I'm glad that you survived not only the heat and the forest fires in California, but Mercury retrograde on your trips out and back. So.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah, that was so, it was like, of course this is happening. What else?
Of course this is happening.
They're going to be, right, I know. Yeah. And last night I was like, I felt so great. And I said, any other time I should just be feeling so awful. This was crazy. You know, but that's just if I incline my mind towards that. Yes.
Yes, right. The quality of our life really is determined by the focus of our attention. It's a really true statement. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, Janet.
Thank you for all the love. The monastery is just, and this practice is just love. So thank you so much. I just feel enveloped in love. Thank you.
Oh, good. Oh, good. All right.
Okay.
As you should. As you should.
I guess I did answer the question. Okay.
Yes, you did. Absolutely.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Ashwin.
Bye. Bye, Janet. I think she answered both questions, Sherry.
Yeah,
because
I do too.
because that's really it. I love the way she described it. There are so many open spaces and yet I feel full. Mm-hmm. That is the quality when our attention is not on conditioned mind, that all of those places that are blocked by it are freed up. Mm-hmm. And because we're not focused on dissatisfaction, then we're not feeling emptiness or dissatisfied, but completely fulfilled. It's just such a glorious place to live, and it is that place of love. And so it was coming up for me in group yesterday. We were having a conversation about what would we do if we needed to draw a picture of the mind. And it's difficult because it's the processes of the mind that we're observing, and therefore we can't draw it. Right?
Yeah.
So I 2 minutes to the show, oh my God, it's too late. You can't get on. You've got to catch up. You've got to, and that is the picture of the mind in any way.
Right. Janet drew us a verbal picture of the mind, right?
Exactly.
It would be hard to, with a pencil and paper. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, watching it do what it does gives us such a good picture of it. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, this is Helga. In Charleston?
Hello, Helga. My gosh.
Hello.
Where are you?
Where am I? I'm in Charleston. I'm back in Charleston.
Oh, okay. I thought you had gone across the seas.
I did. So that's why you haven't heard from me. I came back from the monastery on the 1st of July, and like 5 days later I was in Europe.
Wow.
So, and I've just come back. So.
Ah.
Yeah. So I don't.
All right. Welcome home.
Yeah. Thank you. I just, mostly just wanted to reconnect, because I feel like I was, I was gone for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wanted to say hi. And I don't know if the last caller also was there as a traveling monk. I wasn't clear on that.
Mm-hmm. She was.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, mm-hmm. So I just wanted to, because I haven't had the chance, I really wanted to thank you all for an incredible time there. And maybe what I want to share is that, I came back after 3 weeks being at the monastery, and then I spent a bunch of time with my family. And that was such an interesting experience, because I really only saw what the impact of my time at the monastery when I spent that time with my family.
Because
to me that is such a reality check.
Yes.
Like nothing else,
Yes, because I kid people all the time that somebody is at the monastery. A person can be there training for years, and they go home to spend holidays with their family of origin,
yeah.
And everything is gone. They're 5 years old.
Exactly.
So to go and be able to see the results of your practice in your relationships with your family, that's really special, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And, and what I experienced was, I think, for the first time in my life, I could really see some of these conditioned responses or conditioned ways of being that I'm so familiar with. And I could see that in the members of my family. I really love these people. I really do. And I could see so much of these behaviors that before, I would have like a huge reaction to, because I'm just like them. and
uh-huh.
Would have a big judgment about all these behaviors. So I could mm-hmm. see all that very clearly without being drawn into it. And that was really a first for me. And it took, it took about 2 weeks. And at the very end of that time, I got hooked. I could see myself getting drawn into it. But that, that was okay too. But really,
well,
I've never been.
It's what? Part of the workshop, isn't it? It's
yeah.
part of the workshop. Yeah.
Yeah.
To get hooked after
yeah.
2 weeks of, and to me, the key components there are the lack of self-hate in you enabled
yeah.
you not to go to self-hate over what the ways in which you're like, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and then to see how conditioning slowly wears us down, until finally it hooks us again. And
yeah,
what that does is inspire us to stay in practice, right? To keep practicing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because it was an incredible experience for me to, be able to notice all these different ways of conditioned behavior, and staying in center at least for a while, and that was only possible for me because I had been at the monastery, and as I said, I didn't really, while I was there, I didn't really clearly see. What
how that impacted me. But when I was with my family, then I could actually see it.
Yeah.
So it was really a wonderful experience. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, so many things about that, Helga. And so one of the assignments is joy. So we're close, you know, we're covering that in the conversation with Jana and with you. This is joyful stuff. So we're doing the assignment. Yeah. And so to realize that to get so clear that what self-hate gets me over is what I am judgmental with other people over. So what I can't stand in them is what self-hate is torturing me over. And to realize that and step back and realize, wait a minute, you know, these are just conditioned behaviors that human beings have. Has nothing to do with their inherent goodness or the unconditional love that is their nature, which you can experience when you're with them. Right?
Yeah.
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 Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So big thank you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Glad to have you back. Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Take good care.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Helga.
Thanks.
You know, Sherry, the thing that's dropping in for me is how the portrait of the mind is revealing itself, right?
Yes.
In every one of these conversations, that place of, okay, so the thing that I find that I feel when I'm identified with judgment about something, it really is how self-hate is operating in me. That's what I'm told is unacceptable in me. That's a portrait. That's a function of the mind.
Yes.
Another portrait of how it works.
Yeah. Oh, I like that portrait because that's it. That's what we're getting to see, little snapshots, right, of how conditioned mind operates.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's an accident that it's a difficult assignment because the mind is a set of processes and it's so difficult to draw a picture of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, gosh. Hi, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Tracy.
Goodness gracious.
Tracy.
Here we are.
Here we are. And I'm on the same theme of family and patterns and mind loops. And the picture of the mind that I drew is it just goes round and round and round and round and round. It goes nowhere. And then I drew here, it was the arrow out. So, but it's been a really major workshop. And so can I tell you a little bit about it?
Please.
Yeah, so I was just with my family for 9 days, and I'm with the last caller in that it's so fun to be with my family and watch the changes in me. And also, my family's it's very chaotic, and I was raised in like a chaotic. There was no structure, none. Like eating times weren't a structure. It was all chaos. And so I developed behaviors, and it feels like relationship for me and connection has been kind of my lifelong workshop. And so I have been working through patterns that I do that ego does to quote unquote feel connected, which is, you know, behaviors that lead to separation. And so anyway, I was, you know, conscious of it.
Crazy. I just have to stop you there because I can tell I'm not going to keep track of all of this. But what you just said is really significant. That the behavior, so there's the family, and what you can see is you grew up developing behaviors that were the opposite of what you grew up with. So in trying to survive the chaos, you came up with structures that helped you not feel so chaotic. True so far?
Yes.
Yeah. And then the piece about how the things that you have done that that supposedly the story is will lead to connection actually lead to separation.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yep.
And you're not alone in that, sister. You are not alone in that. Yeah.
It's so humbling. And, you know, I left there, like, feeling good about, like, staying, feeling really vulnerable and sometimes and really kind of weathering the storm of the chaos and, like, not going to what was going to numb out the feeling of being so out of control. And then I come home, and I'm in a relationship with someone that has had a lot of kind of heavy content in his life, and he's very emotionally hesitant. So I had my own workshop going on coming home of this is, it's hard. And, you know, that's where I am right now. I feel like a lot of anxiety and trying to be present with the anxiety and not get into the story. And in my heart, knowing that this person wants connection so much and wanting to weather my own patterns of disconnection and the illusion.
Yes, because
so I need help.
Like, yeah, well, it sounds like my projection is that what you have an opportunity to see is that chaos can take all forms. So with a group of people who are overtly chaotic, you know, then you can be in one relationship with that. You know how to get on the opposite side of that, and in quotes, take care of yourself in relation to that. Then you come home to somebody whose behaviors, orientation, however we want to talk about it, don't seem chaotic, but it throws you into chaos.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, and what throws me into chaos is like hearing that this relationship is really important and you know, verbal intentions, and then the experience of things changing and not follow through, and know, his pattern of disconnection. And that throws me into chaos.
Which throws you into chaos. And so what I see in this, so again, with Ashwini's help, we're seeing how this is the assignment, in that it's really hard to draw a picture of the mind with pencil and paper. But it's if we see these portraits, these verbal portraits, then we can start to get some pictures of how these processes work. And so what occurs to me is the importance for you and all of us, okay? That's why I wanted to underline the family is chaotic. You go to a place of, dare we say, control in order to not feel chaotic. Then you run into somebody who appears to be more controlled and yet isn't, and that throws you into a chaos that you're really – you don't have the coping skills to deal with, because you've spent your lifetime doing a different kind of coping. That may have gone a little far there, but excuse me. What I saw in that, in the picture that you were creating of that mind and those structures, is there needs to be an I in the storm. And that's what I hear you not having, that there isn't a refuge. You left one scene of chaos, came back to another scene of chaos, and it's kind of it's a version of Janet's where there's no rest, there's no respite, there's no place to just stop the chaos in you that's being mirrored all around you, and come back to quiet and center and peace.
Yes. Oh, I'm so glad I called. This is about the best rest that there is.
Well, and Tracy, it's going to be really, really hard because the version that you're going to hear now is he needs you. That it can feel
yeah.
like abandonment if you take for yourself. Sorry, I got choked there. If you take the time and space for yourself, that you need to get back to a centered place where you really can be available.
Yeah, it's so interesting. I communicated that last night that I just kind of need some space, and I felt so much better. Like it felt like it was a risk on my part because I wouldn't normally do that. So there was great relief. You know, like I felt really like happy, and then the anxiety kicked in the middle of the night of like, oh my gosh, that feeling of abandonment. Of like, I still
yes.
need this connection to be okay.
Yes. Yes. Well, you do, and you can't abandon him.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, so I'm really happy hearing the first caller. I'm going to be at the monastery soon, and I'm really happy that I can take the
good.
Take the chaos and the storm and have this space to
find that refuge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, good. This is so helpful.
All right. Well,
okay. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Whitney.
Take good care of yourself.
Okay. Thanks.
And you know, Tracy, for all of us, the respite that we need, the refuge that we're seeking, is never going to come to us in a conversation, which is what people are pointing at, Helga and Janet and everybody else, that's what does happen to us at a place like the monastery, where we have, there's so much space that we have a chance to get out of the conversation. And so I just offer that to you in this interim period, that anxiety is fueling a conversation that fuels the anxiety. And so just to keep bringing yourself back to, no, it's not going to happen in a conversation. I need to just get back to the breath. I need to get here. Okay?
Yes, which is easier for me to do it like at the monastery where there's connection.
Yes.
And I fall much more prey to it when I'm alone. And so
yes, absolutely.
I have to be really...
And that's why when you're alone, don't let it pull you into a conversation because it's not helpful. Yeah.
It's not helpful.
All right.
Okay.
Onward and upward.
Thank you. Onward and upward.
Thanks.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Tracy. Sherry, you know what I was hearing in that conversation is the connection that's missing is with ourselves, with the authenticity. And so to feel disconnected is a clue to know that we're identified with the self that's separate. And so the movement that we're making is back to center where we're connected with everything. And the conversation basically keeps reinforcing the fact that we're separate from whoever it is or the circumstances that we're in, but it would never allow us to look at it and go, the reason I'm separate is because I'm identified with separation, not with connection.
Yes, because ego is framing my life. It's informing, it's giving me meaning about everything. And since ego is separation, then of course I feel separate, and that's anxiety producing.
That's right. There is no connection in disconnection.
Yes. And there never will be, which is
and
the
never will be.
Getting out of the conversation, right? Because that conversation about being connected or getting connected is the source of the disconnection.
Yes. I'm in the wanting of it, the longing for it, which means I'm separate from it already, you know? And so the movement back is, it's a really...
important portrait of the mind, that it bamboozles us by because we're coming from the inside out, we're actually identified with the I that is having the experience of separation and therefore has to go get connection. Whereas, mm-hmm. you know, you can't see yourself in your process. It's like the eyes can't see themselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, subtle stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, it also brings us to the end of the show, Sherry. So,
what now?
Our assignment for today is complete the following on page 79, and it's several lines of "I'm the kind of person who."
So, what you're suggesting with that, or what I took from that, is do it throughout the day. Whenever
yes.
I hear that assessment of myself mm-hmm. that I agree with, I can jot down, "Oh, I'm the kind of person who."
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, it's very good. That's fun. And
all right.
continuing our portrait of the mind, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something we could do all the time.
Right. Just add to our giant mm-hmm. map of
yes,
the
and,
mind.
Yes, and we could see how repetitive it is, as Tracy yeah. pointed out.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, yeah. All right, well, thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Manana. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.